I'll let you start the recording.
Started.
Great, thank you. So I will call to order this online public meeting. It is May 5th, 2021. My name is Sean Denniston, and I'm the chair of the Historic Preservation Commission. You should be able to see tonight's meeting agenda on your screen. If you can't see the screen and joined by phone only, we will be announcing the agenda items as we move through the meeting topics. Due to COVID-19, regular meetings and public hearings of the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission will be held in a virtual meeting room. This will allow for safe participation by commission members, staff, and any citizens interested in attending. Members of the public and applicants have joined as an attendee, which means you can see and hear the event if you joined via computer or mobile device, or you can just hear the event if you joined by phone. Other event participants cannot see your video and cannot hear your audio unless you are acknowledged by the commission chair or staff and are unmuted. This evening's agenda is planned as followed: the roll call and introductions, meeting notes approval, public comment, a public hearing on the Clark County Heritage Register nomination for the Reba House, a public hearing on the certificate of appropriateness application for the Albert and Letha Green Barn for a new detached shop with attached carport, committee updates and announcements, old business, new business, and adjournment. So we will go ahead and start with a roll call of HPC members who are present for the meeting. Commission members, please say I'm here after I call your name. Julie.
I'm here.
Greg. Greg, we can't hear you if you're there.
He's not here.
Oh, that's right. He's still trying to get in.
Yeah.
So Michelle.
Oh,
I'm here.
It's Greg.
I'm here.
All right. And of course, I'm Sean. I'm here. Feli, were you able to join us?
She is not here yet.
Okay. And it looks like Greg is on now. We'll give him a moment. I think he's still logging in. So Andy let us know that he would not be here, so his attendance is excused. While Greg gets in, we can't vote on the meeting notes until we have our quorum, but we can at least open the question if anyone has any comments on the draft April 7th meeting notes. And so hearing none, Greg, are you on now?
I'm on.
All right, so we now have a quorum, and I will entertain a motion for approval of the April 7th minutes.
I'll move approval of the minutes. This is Greg.
Do we have a second?
I'll second, Michelle.
Thank you. So everyone in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? All right, hearing none, that passes unanimously. Thank you. So we will now take public comment on any items besides our two public hearing items or agenda items. Please keep remarks brief and to the point. You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Jackie, do we even have any attendees on?
We do. We have two members up.
All right, so we'll go through the instructions. Jackie, would you please provide the instructions for making public comment?
Of course. Hello, members of the public. If you are interested in making a comment at this time for items that are not on the agenda, please utilize the raised hand icon at the bottom or somewhere on your screen. If you cannot see it, click on the participant button, and then you should it should show up. It might be really small, as you can see on the these diagrams here. Once you are acknowledged, staff will unmute you and you may speak. And then please remember to lower your hand, same way, click on the raised hand icon to lower. And I don't see anyone that's calling on via phone, so I'm not going to give those instructions.
All right, so do we have any public comments? Now that we've given the instructions?
I am not seeing any hands.
All right, Well, then we will move on to our next item. Next item is a public hearing, and it is the Clark County Heritage Register nomination for the Reba House, 6502 Montana Lane, Vancouver. And I will now open this online public hearing for the Clark County Heritage Register nomination for the Reba House. The steps involved in the hearing process are shown on the slide. So do any commission members have any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest on this project? All right, hearing none, Mark will now give a staff report and recommendation. Take it away, Mark.
Great, thank you, Chair.
Mark, I'm gonna pass control to you.
That'd be great, thanks, Daniel.
You can share your screen.
See if I can do this. It's happening. All right. Thank you.
We can see your screen.
All right, so we have a nomination for the local register here for the Reba House. This house is located west of Andreessen, south of the Burnt Bridge Creek area there, north of Mill Plain. Sorry about this aerial photo, could be a little more clear, but I've highlighted it there. You got some photos of the structure. It's kind of exciting. I think this, you know, besides the Fort Vancouver Regional Library, this will be one of our first mid-century moderns we're considering. Very unique structure. I have the review criteria here. Any building, structure, site, object, or district may be designated for inclusion in the Clark County Heritage Register if it is at least 50 years old or lesser age, if it has exceptional importance, has integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association, and is significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, or cultural heritage of the community, and meets at least one of the criteria listed in 1739-070, and all those are listed below here. The nomination selected the following criteria from 1739-070 as applicable here: that it embodies the distinctive architectural characteristics of a type, period, style, or method of design or construction, or represents a significant and distinguishable entity whose components may lack individual distinction. And it is associated with the lives of persons significant in national, state, or local history. The staff is recommending the nomination, but as a condition, we're hoping that more information on Mr. Reba can be added to the nomination. Let's see, I also have a staff report for council's consideration somewhere here, buried in one of these tabs. With basically the same information. I've copied the narrative description from the application here in section 6. The house is, from what we can tell, just meets the 50-year-old mark. We have city documentation that indicates the house was built in 1971. I found some information from DAHP that listed it as 73. So I kind of put a range here of 1970 to 1973, but it sounds like we're right in there on the 50-year mark. And we did received some additional information that I was unable to include in my staff report, and I think it's been uploaded to the website. Thank you, Jackie and Daniel, on Monday from the owner, with some additional pictures that I did include in my PowerPoint. The owner, I believe, is in attendance. They have told me earlier they were not inclined to speak, but if there are questions, we could see if there would be any responses. But that's kind of the end of staff's presentation. If there's any questions.
So does the commission have any questions for staff? Keeping in mind, we can ask questions of the applicant as well. And that'll be next. So Mark, I guess I have one question for you, since there is some doubt about the age. How would that, since our criteria is 50 years, how is that normally, or is there even a normally handled for that?
I don't know. This is, yeah, this could be the first one. I did find our land use manager, Greg Turner, sent me a microfiche showing city records that it was born. It was constructed in 1971. So I feel confident that we're at the 50 year mark.
Yeah, I think that's plenty good for us to hang our hat on. Are there any other questions for staff? All right, do any of the commissioners have any questions for our applicant, since he is in attendance?
So this is Michelle. I'm just curious, I'm not sure if it said, what year was the addition constructed on it?
I think I can answer that. We can, I think it was 2015 or 2014. I think it's fairly recent.
Okay.
And if I'm misstating that, Tom, please chime in.
Daniel, can you move Tom from the attendee list to the panel?
Tom, I'm going to move you to the panel, and you may hear a message saying that you have been unmuted.
So I guess one question that I have is the nomination doesn't really get into it. The reason for picking mid-century modern as the style.
Is that the staff or the applicant or anybody?
The applicant for Tom.
Tom, it looks like you're still on mute. I apologize for taking that.
So, Dan,
why don't you unmute him to see if that helps?
Oh, there we go.
Tom, can you hear us? Tom, can you hear us? Okay, it sounds like I think you might be having connection issues with us.
So I'll go into the basis for my question. As I look at it, it looks more like it fits within the postmodern time period. As we look at the asymmetry, the orientation of the windows, that actually just the inclusion of sloped roofs. Mid-century modern wasn't real keen on steeply sloped roofs. So this seems to fit more in postmodern. I know DAP has a regional sub-style that they use. DAP is the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation. I think they call it a shed, which sounds like a really unimaginative name. But I think that it fits with that movement and sub-style a little bit better, especially when we think of the time, if it is late 60s, early 70s, that puts it outside of a typical mid-century modern and puts it more into the early postmodern period. It's such a distinctive design, and there's so many qualities to it, but I think that the classification in the and the application might not be right. So I don't know if.
And Commissioner, did you see that? I did pull up the building card. It looks like that addition was 2015, according to our records.
So since. Since it looks like the applicant isn't able to respond, and that's all right. Our next, if there are any other, before we move on, do any of the commissioners have any other questions, even if you don't think they can be answered? All right,
commissioners, I mean I think even any feedback you have for the applicant and staff would be beneficial.
So, and I think we can get into that in the deliberation. So let's go ahead and give the, if we do have any public comments on this item, we will now open the public comment period related specifically to the Reba House nomination. Please note that if you wish to retain the ability to be a party of record on this matter or to challenge or defend any decision made on this matter, please state and spell your name and provide your mailing address or email address for the record. Staff will now provide instructions on how to make a public comment for those joining through the computer, since I think we're all computer.
Sure, and we have one in our attendee, Holly. So Holly, if you are interested in making a comment on this hearing, please click on the raised hand icon now.
All right. So, Mark, you now have an opportunity to respond to the very little that has happened so far.
I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
Thank you.
So the commission will now deliberate. The commission must make findings that either agree with staff's findings on each criteria or make specific comments on any finding. So do we have any comments from the, well, let's just open it up for deliberation from the commission.
Hello, team. It's Kelly. I'm sorry, I'm late.
Oh, great.
Yay. Without architectural expertise, I just objectively looking at this house, it seems very postmodern. The chimney seems like it could have some association. But honestly, I'm looking for it. I don't see it. I mean, it's a beautiful house and the additions are amazing, but I'm having a hard time trying to fit that in the square peg that they're asking for. That's my opinion.
I'd agree. I think it's less an issue. Looking at this, I think my impression is that with the right architectural designation and the right discussion of those architectural details and more biographical details on the person that is for the association, I think this very likely, probably, don't want to say for sure, but no, there's a decent chance that this does actually meet the criteria, but the nomination doesn't have a lot of details on why it should be considered mid-century modern. Maybe there is an argument based on something that we can't see in the pictures, but it's not really laid out in the nomination. And so I'm reluctant to call this a mid-century modern based on what we're able to see. But it looks like a great example of postmodernism, and also looks like a good example of, you know, like I said, what DAP calls the shed style, which is a regional sub style of postmodernism. So if the nomination came back with a discussion of, you know, the postmodernism of the shed sub style, which is on DAP's website, so it's very accessible, and the features that fit in to those, those styles and periods and why this is a part of that beyond just the pictures, and then having some more detail about the person and why that person is significant to our local history. I think it's less a matter of the house and more a matter of the application. So, I would be inclined to recommend that it not be approved for adding to the register, but strongly encourage the applicant to revise the application and come back.
Hey, John, this is Julie. And when you say come back, you're saying basically incorporate those specific like postmodern criteria to the application for nomination. Mm-hmm. So we are interested in seeing this again, but categorized more accurately to reflect what the nomination would be all about.
Or if there's a strong reason to consider it mid-century, that's for something that we're not able to see in these pictures, I don't want to completely close the door on that, but it seems unlikely. But I think, I don't think it's a matter of, unfortunately, I don't think that we can vote to, approve its adding to the register on what we've been presented so far, not even a revise with these things. I think we really do need to see the application again with all of the details, but I would really like to see it again, because this is such a different thing than we usually see on our heritage register. So I would love to see the applicant come back with a revised application.
Yeah, I would echo that encouragement to Tom. When I first saw this application, my first thought just spontaneously was, this is such a gem for our community for us to review, and it would be a shame if we didn't get this application back, those robust improvements, because it really is worth the time and review to move forward with some kind of official response to that application. Or not official, but it's all official, but some kind of determination about a nomination.
Are there any other discussion?
I had one small question, which I apologize, I should have asked the applicant earlier, but maybe Mark can answer this because of technical problems. When I was reading through the documentation, it seemed to imply that this applicant had already come forward in the past, because he said, let me, try and explain a little bit more about previous application. Being new to this, I hadn't seen this before. So is that accurate? Had he come before the commission in the past for this? Is this a second time? Or I'd have to go back to the documentation to find the exact verbiage, but it gave me that impression. Do you know?
I don't believe so, but I can't say for sure, Commissioner, but I do know the applicant submitted an application and then on Monday followed up with some additional information. So that could be what you're referring to. He did submit some additional information on Monday that's not reflected in my staff report.
But that makes sense then.
What I'm showing here.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? So hearing none, I'll now accept a motion. Keep in mind that your motion needs to include the findings for staff.
Just a quick question. Do we want to take a final action on this application, or just continue it and give them a chance to work on it and then bring it back to us?
So we would need to take a finding on, we would need to take a motion on this application. So that would be to either recommend inclusion or with caveats, which is always a possibility, or recommend that it not be added to the register. And then we can always make our comments about encouraging the applicant.
Well, this is Michelle. I guess maybe I could make a motion that at this time, we would I say that we would not accept the application to the Clark County Heritage Register, but we strongly, strongly encourage the applicant to go back, revise the application so it has a more accurate description of the house's style. Is that along the right lines?
Mm-hmm. And then you would also need to include the basis for not including, for not adding it to the register.
So basis for not adding it to the register is we just feel like some of the information is not as accurate as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I would add the language at this time, because I think that it's not saying we're rejecting it indefinitely. We're just saying the application as it's submitted, basically, when okay. needs work.
So, Julie, can we take that friendly amendment as a second?
Yes, you can take that as a second. Right.
Is there any discussion of the motion? All right. Well, hearing none, then we'll go ahead and vote on the motion. The motion is to recommend denial of the application for the addition of this, of the Reba House to the Clark County Heritage Register, based on the application not supporting the basis for listing, with a strong encouragement for the applicant to revise the application and bring it back to the commission. So we'll do a roll call vote for this since it's a public hearing. So I'll start with Michelle.
Aye.
Greg?
Yes.
Julie?
Aye, with that caveat of at this time. So I get that in there.
Feli?
Aye.
And I vote yes as well. So Jackie and Daniel, that passes unanimously. So applicant, we really hope to see this again. Please reach out to staff for they can help direct you to resources to help revise. There are people in town who may be able to help you, and they can give you a little bit of advice as well. So please, we hope to see this again. This is a great house, and we think there's a very good chance that it would be a good addition to the register. All right. So that brings us to our next public hearing, which is a certificate of appropriateness application for the Albert and Letha Green Barn. It's the construction of a detached one-story enclosed shop and attached carport on the property at 12112 Northeast Glen Fells Drive in Battleground. I will now open this public hearing for the certificate of appropriateness. The steps involved in the hearing process should be on the slide, Daniel.
There we go.
And while that is coming up, do any of the commissioners have any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest on this project? Hearing none, staff will now give a summary of the staff report and recommendations.
Okay, give us just 1 second to switch screens here. And I'll pull up my PowerPoint.
All right, Jackie, I'm sending the control of the presentation over to you.
Great, thank you. Okay. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Let me go ahead and get started on this hearing. So as Sean mentioned, this is the Certificate of Appropriateness application, HST 2021-00002 for the Albert and Letha Green Barn. you already saw this. So the Albert and Letha Green Barn is located as 12112 Northeast Grenfells Drive in Battleground. The property owner and architect, Steve Kaiser, have applied for a certificate of appropriateness for new construction on the property. The barn is listed in the Clark County Heritage Register. New construction proposed on CCHR property requires review by the Historic Commission to ensure there's no significant impact to the historic barn. According to the application, the proposal is to build a detached one-story enclosed shop and attached carport adjacent to the existing residence. The proposed structure will be located approximately 260 feet from the rear of the barn. It will be approximately 24 feet by 28 feet in size and approximately 12 feet tall. And it will have the same board and batten look as the residential structure, which we have some photos on of in a few slides here. So a little background, the Green Barn was listed in the register in 2008, is associated with the Albert and Letha Green House, which the house is listed on the National Register, the Washington Heritage Register, and the Clark County Heritage Register. The barn and the house are located on separate parcels. The property is located on the south bank of the East Fork of the Lewis River near the SR 503 bridge. The house and barn represent the only remaining evidence of the small community of Lewisville, which once flourished on the north side of the river. So the barn is an exemplary example of large agricultural structures built in the area at the beginning of the 20th century. Built primarily from materials produced on site or locally, the barn encompasses a large volume of space which supported agriculture, dairy cattle, horse for hire, and domestic stock keeping activities all under one roof. The barn has a distinctive gabled roof form topped by gabled ventilation cupolas and with red and white painted shiplap and board and batten siding, and exemplifies barns of the period. Due to its visible location historically and currently adjacent to modern day Highway 503, it has been a landmark known to people from the region for many generations. Albert Green came from Tiverton, I hope I said that right, Ontario, to Lewisville from 1880 to 1885. The barn supported agricultural activities on Green's large acreage. In addition to dairy cattle and hay production, Green ran a horse for hire operation called Green Meadows. He was best known in the county as a music teacher. He was self-taught with the aid of handmade music charts, traveled throughout the county organizing vocal schools. Steve, which we have here with us, is the current owner and resident of the property and the great-grandson of Albert Green. He is also an architect and has served on the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission. And here is the Clark County Code for review of changes to the CCHR properties, which I've stated in my staff report. Here are some current photos. So here's a photo of the barn. Here's the existing residential structure with, you can see the barn in the background there. Another angle. And this I wanted to share, and I asked Steve for it. He had come before the commission several years ago on restoring of the barn ramp. So I just wanted to share with you all a picture of that work as well. Here is the site plan for the property, just indicating here's Grenfells Drive. Here's the existing barn, the historic barn. Here is the residential structure and then the proposed new structures. And here are some elevations of the existing and proposed buildings that will be in proximity to each other. And then I'll just briefly go over the review criteria, which are from the rules and procedures for the Historic Commission and are the standards for rehabilitation from the Secretary of Interior. So I'll just go over the ones that were applicable to this review. Which includes the first one, every reasonable effort shall be made to provide a compatible use for a property which requires minimal alteration of the building, structure, or site in its environment, or to use a property for its originally intended purposes. Staff's findings is the current property owner and applicant is the great-grandson of Albert Green, who built the barn in 1900. The proposal to construct an enclosed shop and attached carport is compatible to the original residential use of the historic property. The distinguishing original qualities or character of a building, structure, or site and its environment shall not be destroyed. The removal or alteration of any historic materials or distinctive architectural features should be avoided when possible. The proposed new structure, the staff's findings, will not impact the historic barn. The new structure is proposed to be located 260 feet to the rear of the historic barn, therefore does not obscure the view of the barn and its setting from the road. Number three, all buildings, structures, and sites shall be recognized as products of their own time. Alterations that have no historical basis and which seek to create an earlier appearance shall be discouraged. So staff's findings is there are no alterations proposed to the barn. The proposed new structure is of modern design and does not seek to create a historic appearance. Number eight, every reasonable effort shall be made to protect and preserve archaeological resources affected by or adjacent to any property project. To staff's knowledge, the proposal should not affect any archaeological resources. However, if an inadvertent discovery is found, it is recommended that work cease and the applicant contact the Washington Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation for guidance. Number nine, contemporary design for alterations and additions to existing property shall not be discouraged. When such alterations and additions do not destroy significant historical, architectural, or cultural material, and such design is compatible with the size, scale, color, materials, and character of the property, neighborhood, or environment. Staff finds that the proposed new structure does not destroy any historical, architectural, or cultural materials of the property. The new structure is located a good distance from the barn. Its design is compatible with the size, scale, color, materials, and character of the property. Oops. Number 10, wherever possible, new additions or alterations to structures shall be done in such a manner that if such additions or alterations were to be removed in the future, the essential form and integrity of the structure would be unimpaired. So as stated, the proposed one-story structure will be located a good distance to the rear of the barn. Therefore, staff's opinion is that it would not impact the historic structure. In conclusion, staff believes that the proposal meets the applicable criteria as stated and recommends approval of the certificate of appropriateness application. Any questions for me?
I have just one quick question. Can you go back to the site plan? There we go. So along the left side there, is that an access road or I'm just trying to see how access to the new building works on the site.
Steve probably is the best one to ask. So
okay, I'll ask the applicant.
Okay, great. Any other questions for me?
I have one you answered in a way, but I want to just clarify. So sure. Going back to the pictures. Would you go back to the second photo of the current structure where we just see that? One. So looking at that, and based on the architectural blueprints, I'm going to call them, the new structure will be to the right of this where that grill is, I'm guessing. Is that?
That's my understanding. Right? Okay. And Steve's nodding his head, but he can probably go into way more detail on it than I.
Because at first I was, because this looked very similar in terms of the angle and the height and the structure, but obviously it's different because there's not open space and so I was a little confused what this was. So you answered that before, but I was curious in terms of where that new structure would be in orientation. So.
Yeah, I didn't realize, can you hear me?
Yeah, is it okay?
I could unmute myself. I thought that I had to raise my hand and be accepted. But anyway, no, you're correct. It's the new structure in this photograph would be to the right of the existing house, which puts it clearly out of the line of sight of the barn from the road and And puts it in a almost a diminutive position relative to the existing house. And I, there was another question about the access road.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it now. It looks like there's a drive that goes through the property.
Yeah, that's a gravel drive that was part of the access before the property was subdivided by my grandmother. Interestingly enough, if you can see parallel topographical lines that are going from right to left to right, just to the riverside of the barn. That was actually an original county road that is still less there in terms of the fill and the grading and things like that. Just kind of cool.
I was wondering if I could ask a question. It's Michelle. You know, hi. I'm familiar with the house. I've actually been in that house before. And so I was wondering, the house and the barn started life off together. So how did they end up getting separated as things went on? It seems like they would still be together.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question. And the answer is kind of a sad perspective. my great-grandfather originally had about 700 acres on a contracting parcel here. And he had seven children. Each children received 100-acre plot of land. My grandmother was fortunate enough to receive the acreage that was adjacent to the original house and included that essentially was the original homestead, with the exception of the property that the parcel that contains the actual original homestead. And then my grandmother had 100 acres, and she had three children, and in order for her to maintain her life style, and especially in her retirement, she sold off all but 15 acres each. So there were three parcels for her three children. And my uncle, her son, and my mom's brother passed away very soon after my grandmother. And I was fortunate enough to be able to purchase that parcel from his estate. And so right now there's the even though the house and the barn are separated by you know, by parcel lines, they're still owned in the same family. There's 24 parcels that are all owned by family members: myself, my mom, and two cousins. So a cousin of mine has the house. I was fortunate enough to get the barn. My mom got the piece that has the house that her grandparents built. And then we have another cousin who built his own house on the property that's furthest away from the original house. I hope that clarifies it. So you were in Albert's house?
Yeah, a couple decades ago, I worked for the Reflector, and we did an article or two on it.
So I've been in the house. Yeah. Well, it's still there, and it's still hanging in there.
Yep. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Are there any other questions for the applicant? All right. Hearing none, we will now open the public comment period related specifically to the Albert and Letha. Is it Letha or Letha?
Letha.
Letha. Green Barn Certificate of Appropriateness. Please note that if you wish to retain the ability to be a party of record on this matter, or to challenge or defend any decision made in this matter, please state and spell your name and provide your mailing address or email address for the record. Staff will now provide instructions. Or we'll just ask Holly if she wants to say anything.
Yes, Holly, if you would like to make public comment, Yeah, you know what to do. No, I'm just joking. Click on the raised hand icon and we will unmute you.
All right, hearing nothing from Holly, staff may now respond to any of the testimony from the applicant. Anything to add, Jackie?
No, I have nothing to add.
All right, the public hearing is now closed. The commission will now deliberate. The commission must make findings that either agree with the staff findings or any criteria or make specific comments on any finding. So any deliberation from the commission? I'll just say I agree with the staff report.
I guess what I would say is that the applicants made a good faith effort to try to, you know, make it look, to make it compatible with the existing barn structure. It's a long ways, it sounds like, from the barn structure. And so, you know, I would agree with the staff findings that it's an appropriate use.
Any other discussion?
Just that I would echo what Michelle and you have already said. I think that the staff did a thorough review of how it meets the criteria. And again, you know, I like that it's a nondescript kind of a, like you said, Steve, a little bit of a diminutive structure, but it still is compatible with the entire site, really, the barn and the existing home. So I agree with the other commissioners.
Thank you.
Well, unless there's anything further, I'll now accept a motion, including findings. Okay. I'll go ahead and make a motion. I don't get to make motions very often. So I move that we approve this application for the certificate of appropriateness based on our agreement with the staff findings.
I'll second that, Sean.
All right, we have a first and a second. Do we have any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. We will go ahead and vote. So when I call your name, either vote yes or no. Julie?
Yes.
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
Feli?
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
And I vote yes as well. The motion passes unanimously. And Steve, we would just like to thank you for your continued stewardship of this important heritage site. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'd just like to say that I feel blessed that I have that opportunity. I am a very happy clan out here.
Great. All right. So we will now move on to our next agenda item. We have committee updates and announcements, and we'll just go through those one by one. So any updates from the SEPA Academy Committee?
No updates.
Nothing. All right. And I can say that there are no updates from the Vancouver Heritage Overlay Code Committee. Any updates from the Underrepresented Communities Committee, especially since Philly weren't able to join us last time?
Yes, there is. You guys, thank you. I was so under the weather last month, but there's a lot of things happening. So since the last time we spoke, we decided to focus on the African American culture and the Native American culture as far as initiating dialogue. In doing that, I attended the NAACP meeting and got to connect with a lot of members that are currently doing work with the African American culture in Clark County. I connected with some people that are starting something called Fresco Mercado, so feeding underrepresented cultures and people of color that are in need in Clark County. So those people really want to support a campaign that we think would be super important. I know that Andy talked to you guys a little bit about what we concluded, but in having
some personal dialogue with a lot of African-American associates and friends, I realized that there's still a lot of trauma that's taking place in that culture. So we suggested that we should start a campaign of support that might look like a phrase or something that we can kind of put out with these communities so that people can see what kind of support they're getting back. And hashtag what's your story was what we concluded. If we cannot as a culture talk about how to heal or talk about what's current without trauma, then we need to know that there's a lot of support of all colors and all kinds. So that's something that we're kind of tossing around. I also created an alliance with a gentleman who is a the head of a subcommittee for religious affairs here in Clark County. So I thought that was a really good place to kind of start the idea of hashtag what's your story. Just trying to see, you know, how much support we can get from all different backgrounds, religions, ethnicities, genders, preferences, et cetera. So that's something that is in the works. So getting support from Marcato Fresco and the NAACP to some extent is in the works. This month, I'm going to be meeting with Julie and Andy. Hopefully we'll have a call. And we need to discuss mainly how we are going to start the dialogue with the Native American community. And Andy has a very good connection with somebody who has been a consistent member of the Cowlitz tribe. So hopefully in talking to that gentleman, we can see where best we can direct our energy as far as what kind of dialogue needs to take place with that community. Where is the most need? What is it that needs to be discussed? How it is as commission members, we can really be a voice for that. We're kind of looking to 2022 to really focus on like a national historic, there's like an annual like a historic kind of event where we kind of bring up the history of this region. And we kind of think that that's a great place to kind of blast hashtag what's your story so that people can understand that there is a pocket of people that really want to just have the dialogue. That's something that's not happening consistently. It's happening here and there with different groups, but it's not, we're not a huge city. You know what I mean? We're not like the biggest there is. And to know where the support lies should be somewhat accessible. So I think that when people know that there is a group of people who really encourage the dialogue, want to know what's happening, whether it be negative or absolutely positive, we just want to kind of start there. So this month, my focus is going to be on really, really trying to hone in on where best we can utilize our resources and talking with the Native American culture and circling back with the African American community as far as the NAACP and just kind of going from there. We're just getting the ball rolling. So that's pretty much where we are at this time.
Thank you, Feli. Does anyone have any questions for Feli? All right. Well, thank you for continuing to move that along. It's an important topic. So our next committee update is the HPC Application Review Committee. So I guess I can do that one. Turn off my noisy fan. Sorry about that. So we met and reviewed the applications that we got in to fill our 3 vacant positions. After going through those, we have narrowed it down to 4, and we will be doing some interviews next week to narrow that down to 3 with an alternate. So it's, you know, we've got a decent set of applications and some really exciting ones. So that process will continue on. And then Jackie, if you want to update the commission on kind of the formal parts of that process moving forward.
Sure. So after the interview process and we have an official committee recommendation, we'll prepare a memo that is submitted to the county council and county manager. So we'll package all the applications together, describe the process that the committee went through on reviewing and selecting, and get that up to for a council consideration. They have the opportunity to do their own process if they so choose. So we'll hopefully give them, I think it looks, you know, we're going to give them plenty of time to be able to do that before the terms would start July 1. So the next stage after ours is the county council stage and phase, and they will take it from there. The appointments will be made at a council hearing, and then we'll get new members seated and do our orientation and have some new folks starting July 1 for our July meeting.
Great. Any questions for the committee or for Jackie on this?
I have a question for you, Jackie. Mm-hmm. So since our chair is going to be leaving us, how do we, when, at what point will we be voting on a new chair, or will people be submitting their names for the role? Or by, yeah. Or even the deputy chair or whatever.
Vice chair.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah. we do annual elections. So I think there's to happen in July. Come, you know, probably next June or the next meeting in June, we'll have something on the agenda that reminds people of that coming up. And what we've done typically in the past, asked commission members to submit their name for consideration if they're interested in that, and either serving as chair or vice chair. And then we let the commission members know of who's kind of put their name in the hats for that. And then you all will vote on that at the July meeting.
Can the new commissioners put their name in, or will they not know in time to do so?
I guess they wouldn't be seated yet.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you all wanted to wait, you could, if you wanted to push it to August.
I'm just curious. In the event.
The commission's not limited to nominating the people who expressed interest, right? So.
Right. Totally. Yeah. But we just do that just to, like, for people that for sure want to do it, can do it, are ready for it, that kind of situation.
You make a case for it. And yeah. Since Andy is continuing on, he'll be acting chair for that meeting until, you know, through elections. Yep. Any other questions for Jackie? All right, then let's go ahead and move on to our old business, an update on the 2021 CLG unreinforced masonry project.
Okay, so several months ago, every year we have this opportunity to apply for a CLG, Certified Local Government Grant from DAP. We had a couple options, right, that you all reviewed to determine which one, what project you wanted to move forward. And we went with the unreinforced masonry. So once I started to get more into depth and trying to get my head around what the project would entail, I wanted to make sure that the commission and us, we don't get too far ahead of the elected officials in the county and the cities, because if I look at how some of the jurisdictions do it, like City of Seattle, you know, it's code and policy changes. And knowing our council, I know they like to be part of those decision-making processes at the beginning. So it would be our protocol to count or have a conversation with them about whether or not they're interested in this before surprising them with something after the fact. So I'm proposing kind of putting a pause on that project, but wanted to propose to you all, if it's still something you want to do for perhaps next year's grant cycle, that we do some work this year on talking to the building officials and getting it on the radar of council and other city councils, because it would be, you know, recommendations to them as well to make changes with their code to kind of get on the same page and apply with everyone together, not apply together, but everyone's understanding what the project is gonna, what the deliverable will be. So I just wanted to kind of update you on that. Happy to answer any questions.
Seeing none, I'm going to say something. So Jackie, so this proposal, just to clarify, was to work on code in relation to those buildings, or to do kind of a survey of what unreinforced masonry kind of structures are in this county? Two totally different things.
So at first, a couple of years ago, we thought that was how it's gonna go, but then found out that the state had actually done one for the state, the entire state. So there is an inventory of buildings that have been identified as unreinforced masonry buildings. So the next step was going to be like, what kind of program should the county have, or in the cities, to work on the situation of, you know, having those buildings, you know, in our communities, and what should there be some, you know, financial incentives or you know, help or different code in place for those because of that. So it was more of like putting together a recommended program that you would present to the elected officials or the jurisdictions to implement as part of their building program.
So in a sense, kind of how can we also respect and preserve these, having those resources at hand or knowing about them, and then how do we kind of apply practice to ensuring that they're respected somehow?
Yes.
Whether it's protection or some other thing. Okay. Okay. So who would do that footwork then if we were to postpone?
I'd probably want a couple members, like a committee, to maybe work with me and then maybe bring in some, you know, have a meeting, maybe a work session kind of meeting with maybe first even just the county's building official. Because, you know, they may have some ideas and have been thinking about this. So it would be good to get them involved and kind of talk about what the commission is interested in seeing or concerned about, and kind of just having that conversation first with them, as they're the experts on, you know, the building code and whatnot. So that's kind of that's as I envision like our first step. And then, you know, reaching out to the other cities as well to kind of get the feeling, and then go from there with, you know, if it's still something that, and we know what we want to do, then I would propose it to the counselors and be like, are you interested in that? Can we include this, apply for this grant for this purpose?
And so I'll say that since it sounds like this, you know, we'll be trying to move this forward after I'm gone. I will pre-volunteer as a community member to help out with that process. I'm a member of the Association of Preservation Technologies Code Committee, and we're actually working on some similar issues in the International Existing Buildings Code on how to deal with historic buildings, you know, seismic requirements, all kinds of things, but seismic is one of them. So I'm more than happy to participate, bring that experience, and maybe even bring, I mean, I can't promise it, but maybe even bring some help from outside, from at least, you know, reviewing and looking at and brainstorming.
Thank you. That'd be great.
All right. So our other piece of old business is the 2022 historical promotion grant update.
Yes, I don't have much to report. I just want to kind of plant the seed that typically in June is when we send out the application, that the application period is open for nonprofits and organizations to apply for those. So I will have a better update in June. And then also, as you guys, some of your responsibilities, right, are we usually have a committee that reviews the grant applications that come in. So I'll be asking if we can form a committee for when those applications will come in the fall. If we have first things first is that we have to ascertain whether or not the fund is big enough, that it has grown enough to have a good grant program. So I'll be doing that in the next month, and then I'll know for sure for our June meeting.
All right. Any questions for Jackie about the promotion grants? Okay, hearing none, do we have any new business? That is our last item on our agenda.
I have one thing, but it's not really business. It sort of is. I just want to say that I went to the Main Street conference about 2 weeks ago, and it was excellent. And so anyway, I participated in almost everything that I could get my hands on. And it was just a wonderful conference. Even though it was virtual, I really appreciated the opportunity to go and just attend the different sessions and learn and participate. And anyway, it was just really, really great. So I just want to thank whomever there is to thank that I got that opportunity. So yeah, anyway, I really appreciated it and I really enjoyed it a lot. I learned a lot too.
Thank you, Julie, for bringing that up. I should have put that up so because that has happened since we last met. And yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Julie.
I don't have any other new business on my end.
All right. Well, hearing nothing else, thank you, everyone, for joining us. This meeting of the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Have a good evening. And
thank you.
We will see you all soon.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you all.